The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in 2 John, verse 4, page 5 of your notes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have the responsibility as a believer to keep close tabs with regard to your mental attitude and where you're at spiritually as a believer, and especially in Bible class, where we get the necessary information in order to acclimate to this great angelic conflict that is being resolved, and we're a part of that resolution. So let's get ourselves in fellowship and take in the information God has for us today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, as one body in Christ, we assemble ourselves together so that we can fulfill the royal imperative to grow in grace and knowledge. We thank you for everything you provide us with and all the support that we have so that we can have the freedom and the wherewithal in these perilous times to assemble and take in the truth that we need to prevail in time and to excel before you at the Bema. Be with us in our study in Christ's name. Amen. All right. This letter, this epistle, was written, as it says, to the recipients. This was written by John. It's clear that he's the human author. The association with the language between the Gospel, 1 John, and so forth indicates a common authorship, and that authorship is the Apostle John, who identifies himself as the elder, which is a way of indicating his position without saying, I'm an apostle. Peter did the same thing in his letter. There's a place to emphasize the apostolic office, but he isn't emphasizing it here. This is a personal letter written to a unnamed lady, the chosen lady. He designates her and her children. We dispensed with the idea, at least I have, completely and totally, that this was written to a local church. This is written to an individual. We have Philemon written to an individual. So you have epistles written to a collective of churches. You have epistles written to a singular church. And you have letters written to an individual. So this is written to an individual, as is 3 John. He emphasizes both in this letter, excuse me, my throat. He emphasizes both in this letter and in the next one, he continually emphasizes the fact that he loves the recipients in truth. And truth becomes very prominent in John's writing, the Greek noun aletheia. The emphasis on truth. The bond between two people or between people is emphasized as the truth. What we know to be true. That is the basis for quality Christian fellowship. A common understanding and love for the truth. So we have the fact that he had done, and this letter is designed, obviously, to encourage her faith. We don't know all the background of their history or anything. That isn't necessary. This is like you would pen something to someone whom you knew personally, had a history with. And of course, John, wherever he is at when he writes the letter, writes it to a believer whom he loves in the truth and wants to make contact with for her edification and encouragement in time. After all, we are a slim minority. I don't mean Christians in general in the world. I mean those that are advancing under the banner of sound doctrine and the truth. We are a minority. But don't let that discourage you. Because the minority aspect of those who are positive can be emphasized in different places in the Word of God. Yes, there are times when there is a great upswell of individuals who are positive and are in doing the will of God. Let's take the conquest generation as an example. But other times, and as we reach the end of this dispensation, there will be less and less interest and a falling away on the part of believers. Hopefully it won't be you. Because in the last days, people's love grows cold. Their ardor, whatever they might have had, begins to fall by the wayside due to a variety of factors. Prolonged testing in the angelic conflict leading to discouragement and soul fainting. It's easy to get your eyes on the cosmos out there now. I mean, it's so in our face with all this that's going on that it can discourage people. And we need to keep our focus on the truth. Of course, there's the usual distractions that people are involved with. So he addresses this person, gives her the standard Christian greeting in verse 3, and we pick up in verse 4 and following with living in truth and love. These two go hand in hand. You can have truth, no doctrine, and not be fulfilling the principle of love. You can be involved with fake love but not adhere to the truth, then that love is not what we're talking about here. John informs her that I was very glad to find, and then you have some in italics, so that's questionable, of your children walking in truth just as we have received commandment from the Father. All right. I was very glad. John is stimulated by learning about some of her children. Excuse me. Aorist indicative, kairo, be glad or to rejoice, with the added adverb leon, which means very glad. It was a time, an experience for him that was very uplifting, producing plus H. The word find is the perfect active indicative heurisko, to find or discover. How he came by that information, certainly, probably, wherever he was, visitors who came by. Christians traveled a lot back then. And of course, it was a long trek. And to find information that might have been somewhat few and far between. But he ran across individuals who informed him with regard to this woman and her children. If you're not on top with that, go back to the introductory verses where I surmised that this was a widow who was who had adult children, which would be easy enough to come up with. And some of your children is the preposition ek, from technon, from your children. I want to pause here for a minute Wouldn't this be a totally weird way of writing to a local church? That the children are the members and that the lady is a church. I want to emphasize that because that's predominant in the commentaries. I don't know if they have a hang-up with John, the elderly apostle by this time, having a relationship with a woman like this, a platonic relationship. But if that's the case, that's exactly what we have here. It's simply people who have met in time, who established a relationship, and it wasn't anything to do with romance. But wouldn't this be, to repeat and be redundant, wouldn't this be a weird way of writing to a church to refer to the church kind of as the children being part of it? No, this can't work. As they say, this dog will not hunt. It simply doesn't add up. So, you know, dealing with interpretative matters, you have to face up to the fact that the lady is not some covert way of referring to a local church. Why would you do that? And then have the children appear who are members of the same lady be separated from it. Nonsense. Complete nonsense. I mean, you wouldn't pick up any letter like this and read it and inject that into it. I think it probably, but I don't know. I think it's probably because they would have a hang-up with the Apostle John having this kind of a bond with a woman that he's not married to. So we have to add that, no doubt, her husband was deceased. I mean, in the end of the letter, she has a sister with children. So maybe, hopefully we can completely dispense with that idea. All right. What made him so happy was that he heard now that some of your children, again, we don't have any idea. Some people have really large families. It's not unheard of for someone to have 8, 9, 10 children. We know of people like that, have families of that size. It's rare, a lot more rare now, but it does exist. From your children, ek with technon, just as we have received commandment from the Father, to find some of your children walking. That's the standard Christian way. Peripateo means to walk around. And it's obviously used for the function of the Christian life. Modus vivendi, modus operandi. Walking in what? Truth. No article here in this case. In truth, just as, strong conjunction, just as we have received, aorist active indicative lambano, commandment, a commandment, a singular commandment, entole, from the Father, God the Father. We have a commandment to operate in the realm of truth, walk in the truth in all aspects. Now I ask you, he personalizes it, and his the primary thrust of the letter isn't to her children or her even them equally, but it is to her. It's a personal letter. Now I ask you, lady, this is not a direct command. It's a request. I ask you, perfect active indicative, erotao. Now I ask you, lady, kuria, which I told you, was the feminine, I put a masculine there, it's a typo, it's a vocative, vocative's voice of address, vocative, feminine, singular, kuria, as over against kurios, Lord. I ask you, lady, not as though I was writing, present active indicative grapho, this is writing with pen and ink, that I was writing to you a new commandment. The commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning. But the one which we have had. He includes himself in this, that we kept on having imperfect active indicative from RK, a beginning. Beginning of what? They're Christian as two individuals. From the beginning of their Christian life, phase two. The beginning from the salvation and forward, they had received this commandment. And you see here in these verses, we have two commandments in front of us. We have first the commandment to walk from the truth. And then we have the other one with regard to love. That we love one another. He finally gives us the commandment. That we exhibit love for one another. Notice the word love, the verb, is a present subjunctive. First plural. Whether we do or whether we don't, that's the subjunctive aspect. That we love one another. And then he brings it full cycle. And this is love. Another way of defining this love, this Christian love, and this is love, agape, keeps on being, that we walk according to his commandments. Present active, subjunctive again. Commandments is now plural. We've had singular commandment, and now we have commandments plural. All the directives of Scripture that are incumbent upon believers. This is the commandment singular. The overriding commandment. The overriding commandment is that this is the commandment. Definite article with commandment. Present active indicative, just as you have heard from the beginning, you have heard, and aorist active subjunctive, the totality of the recipients, plural, that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Present active subjunctive, peripateo, indicating volition and potentiality. Try to break this one down. Where we're going with this. We'll give it a stab here in the analysis. John has his own way of presenting these things. And any who had been around him and exposed to his teaching was familiar with his terminology and his way of presenting spiritual information. If you compare his way of doing it as, say, over against the Apostle Paul, it's the same information, but it's presented differently. It's a different style. Different type of way of terminology and putting things together. I have mine, which is a combination of my own experience and history. Exposure to a teacher and my own development. So I have my own style. That's fine. Everybody can develop that as long as the content is correct. John, point one, had received a reliable report regarding this woman's children, and it brought him considerable happiness. He's glad for this. We'll see the same thing in 3 John, that he'd received a report with regard to one Gaius. Her children, or at least some of her children, were at the point of this report very, very positive and making solid applications. Obviously, this report would be more involved. This is just a summation of the information that he is relaying to this lady that will encourage her that her children, who obviously she would want to know this, doesn't mean they were all with her all the time. I know this is the hard part because we don't know where people were and how that works out. Imagine you stepping into something like this. This kind of detail is, they knew what was going on. We don't, in that sense. The physical movement, the whereabouts of everybody, and so forth. So I have to work with that. That's the hard part of the letter, frankly. Walking in the truth refers to living the Christian way of life in accordance with Bible doctrine. That's simple. If you live the Christian life according to doctrine, to whatever degree, you are walking in the truth. 4. John reiterates the fact that believers have a commandment to walk in the truth. This is related here to the author of the plan, God the Father, the head of the family, so to speak. That we have a commandment to operate in the realm of the truth, which gave John happiness to know that her children were indeed participating and fulfilling and walking in accordance with that commandment. By being here today, however you felt, whatever's going on, you made it. You got up, you got here. It's a part of walking in the truth. It's the priority for you. You didn't sleep in, or whatever people do if they don't make it. You got here. That's an aspect of walking in the truth. You're here to expose yourself. However you're discouraged, however you're feeling, whatever's going on, you broke away from all that to be under face-to-face teaching. After a week's absence, you came back. You didn't say, to heck with it, I'm throwing in the towel, I've had it, the world's crazy, I don't want to put up with this anymore, I'm going to just go hide somewhere. I know the feeling. It's absolute Looney Tunes out there, and dangerous. But that's where God put us. We're still to walk in the truth, maintain a local church, keep the doors open, provide for anybody who's interested. The information. It's what we've done all the years. We don't function differently because of whatever's going on out there. We'll work our way through it one day at a time towards the rapture. John reiterates the fact that believers have a commandment to walk in the truth. And walking in the truth is everything from mental attitude, thinking, bringing thoughts into captivity for Christ, having doctrine. Because some doctrine doesn't require directly that you be doing something. Like all the prophecy, you know. You just know it. It's up there. A lot of these doctrines are up there. Hypostatic union. You don't have to do anything. You gap the information, know it. Be sure you understand it. And then others require action. Action with honor. Speaking, doing, and so forth. As humans do in life, carrying on their lives. So, we are to walk in the truth. Do not let anyone convince you otherwise. Oh, you don't need that doctrine. That's where you turn and go the opposite direction. Now, we may have differences of opinion on applications and some understanding of things. Yeah, that's true. That's always going to be true because we're working our way through things. And I'm not talking about wholesale dumping a doctrine that I have experienced and witnessed, people that were grounded in it and taught it and spoke it, and it was native part of them, who suddenly throw it aside. Right pastor. That one. They cut themselves off from that. So they go right back into the funny world where you can bounce around and go from church to church and move to this community, go here, and now he's my pastor. And then, but we got to go here because my son's got to go to college over here and there's a church like over here. So we all run all over the place. We don't hold that sacred. I'm not saying there's never a place for a time for someone to move. Someone could get married and the woman follows her husband and the local church he's in. I understand some of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the wholesale non-recognition of it and all the malpractices that go on, multiple pastors all around doing this stuff. And if you can't figure that out from John 10, you can't figure it out. And I don't teach this to keep a hold over you. That hasn't worked with a lot of people. I don't do that. I do it because it's the truth. That we're not to have, this kind of a merry-go-round history with pastors, like so many churches do that are fundamentalist. They don't teach this. Well, that's just one thing that gets thrown overboard. And then the mischaracterization of the doctrine of separation, that's rampant. They like to do that. They like to mischaracterize it. But we teach it. And I've tried to put in all the caveats. I'm not telling you to treat anyone bad. Be rude. You can talk to other Christians. But if they're not on board with these principles, then it's not the ground for fellowship. I've seen it in my own church. You just had to keep and maintain that relationship with your sister. And she's not positive. She may be a Christian, so you have to work those things out. For the contrast, see John 8:12, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Only the Messiah, the God-man, could make a statement like that. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. 12:35. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Another way he refers to himself as the light, a dispenser of truth, where truth and light reveals things, so the two go hand in hand. Walk while you have the light. He's not talking about putting one foot in front of another, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. He's lost out here in the cosmos without the truth. Thank God for the truth and having it as believers. 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and there's a lot of believers that are claiming to have fellowship with Christ, and yet walk in the darkness. What kind of darkness are we talking about? You're not talking about people who deny the existence of Christ, who are all the rest. It's people who have corrupt theologies. I don't mean just an area where they don't completely understand the whole package of a particular doctrine. We've developed a lot of these and added new aspects and insights with regard to particular categories of doctrine. But we're talking about walking around in the darkness. If I was a believer and got up in the morning and believed that I could lose my salvation, I'm walking around in darkness. If I'm a believer and gets up in the morning and go to a church and say, you know, someday if you hang in there, you'll be perfect on this earth, I'm walking around in darkness. That's two verses here in 1 John chapter 1. That must be that these people were promoting this at this early date. I'm not surprised. And all the other kind of stuff. So you walk around in darkness. God will judge that. We don't have to worry about it and say, well, is this one or not? That's not my point. My point is to just know it well enough so that we can negotiate ourselves mentally through this life and not fall into areas of spiritual darkness, either through the absence of doctrine or corrupt doctrine, corrupt ideas. We've had to dispel darkness around here through teaching. We have had to overcome some things that were in our souls, mine, yours, like the biblical cosmology. We had to overcome that. Some haven't. Okay, we go on. It's a part of the darkness of the devil's world. I pointed this out repeatedly. And some people just get flat mad and close down when I try to do it. And I love you and I care about you and I'm trying to help you. But I can only go so far. Remember the story of Jesus' disciples. They just wouldn't get on board with his necessity of him suffering and dying the way he did. They just wouldn't get on board with it. They were sure that they could convince the man that this was misguided and we want a kingdom and we want it now and blah, blah, blah. Every one of those disciples had some of that poison in them. John the Baptist didn't. Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He connected up with the sacrificial system and understood that Jesus was going to have to suffer. And that the sufferings precedes the glory. So the disciples were continued to stumble over this. And it took them through a spat of misery and all the rest, but by God's grace they came back to square one and took off. But they didn't have to go through that, what I'm saying. But they did. It was their volition. And 7. Where am I at? Okay, 1 John 1, 6 and 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Well, I gave you 6. Well, I'll do it again. Sorry. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, there you go. That's the basic fundamental thing. All these other type of get-togethers and fellowships and, you know, let's get all these Christians in some kind of an ecumenical thing and all get them together and we're all believe in Jesus and everything's fine. We have differences. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I heard, you know, that you've ran into that. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Implying what? True doctrine. We're gonna keep sinning. And we need the spiritual cleansing aspect, the blood of Christ, and the use of 1 John 1:9, just like you use soap and water, except it's for your soul. Thank God for that. But the flesh, the STA, wants to convince you, you're not worthy. Oh, you did that again. Or run you through a guilt trip. Knock it off. Rebound and keep moving was an early doctrine I heard. It's called walking. Rebound is simply something you do up here. Okay, Father, I confess that mental attitude. I confess what I just said. Did. Maybe you lied about something. You rebounded it. Whatever. So you keep going. This amazing how sparsely this is taught, as far as I know, in fundamentalist Christianity. And don't come to me and say, well, they say the model prayer, forgive us our sins. Yeah, that's sort of like some, but it doesn't, you know, it's like putting a car up on and making the tires go fast, but they're off the ground. There's no traction here. You've got to use it. When I learned this, I learned a number of things, that this is how I walk in light and get out of my current little round of STA darkness. Because when I'm out of fellowship, I'm walking in darkness. No, it doesn't mean I forgot everything, obviously. It's just, for the moment, I'm running under your STA, and you're running around in darkness. You probably know that biblically you can't justify that. Okay, we'll take another one. You're out here complaining, and there's a lot to complain about. There's a ton you can complain about. From the weather to the craziness of our society to whatever. Your old age. Your pains and aches and how it slowed you down a lot. You can complain about that. Or you can get in fellowship to recognize that you can get SG3 for suffering and that God has a plan for you and he'll be with you in your old age as he was with you in your youth. He'll take care of you and break out of that mess. So we're not walking in darkness. It's the old thing. It's the room with one switch on the wall and one light and no windows, and you cut the light off, it's total blackout. You throw the switch, you got light. You can see. And that's what rebound. It's the switch. Back to fellowship, back to divine good production, back to walking in the light. So that's the thing we have to do. For those that are outside doctrine, they've got to connect up with the truth. Wherever, whatever kind of thing they're into out there. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And again, abides in him isn't saying I'm a Christian. I'm positional sanctification. I'm in fellowship. Ought to walk as he walked. Okay, so he's the model. He's the ultimate model. We study. We have studied, and I enjoy doing that. I enjoy going through the life of Christ. I pick up a lot of things about how he approached things. It's very encouraging. And I just hope I can adopt those and do them in my own ministry. When people contradicted him, when people did this, he had a way of handling things. Never got worked up and over stuff. If someone said something wrong, he'd say on the contrary. Or he'd quote a scripture. Or say something and throw something out that you're thinking, well, they're not going to get that. That's their problem. He's just dispensing the divine viewpoint. So he had a way of handling a variety of situations when dealing with people. I've always been impressed by that. And, of course, our verse. In verse 5, John once again addresses the woman using the designation lady. 8, regarding walking in the truth, John reiterates the importance of the virtue of divine love. These two must, to have it right, these two have to go together. You could have truth and not have love, but you can't have love and not have truth. You throw truth overboard, and whatever form of love it is, it's not divine love. It can look good. It absolutely can. And that's what fools some of us, because we see certain people that are really nice people who are Christians, who we know doctrinally will not endure sound doctrine, will not listen to it. It even makes them mad. It upsets them. So they're going to go to this church because it's entertaining and it's fun and we have a lot of music and everything and we don't need all that Bible stuff. We just need... And they're nice people. And that love is a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. And that form of godliness can be very impressive. How do you break through? I'm not asking you to go around and judge everybody you see, but you have to make some kind of judgments with regard to people and the things that come out of their mouth. Most of us, we have had a background in fundamentalist Christianity. We know what it's like up close and personal. We've seen it. The good, the bad, the ugly, where's the meat, where's the food here, frustration. Every Sunday evangelizing. Doing all the little stuff. It's Mother's Day. Let's do that. It's Christmas. All the kind of stuff we did. And we could, like I always said, you could be there as you could be as old as Methuselah, and they would not teach you through an entire book in its entirety, top to bottom, intro information and on. Rather than one after another, because it's sermon day, it's Sunday, it's sermon. We got to have a catchy title, a catchy deal. There's some good stuff that comes out. I could put out good stuff and close my Bible. I could get up here and just talk about spiritual things as they come to my mind for an hour. But I have to discipline myself and do this. All of it isn't fun, by the way, like you consider fun. Some of it's very exhilarating. The new commandment is not new in the sense of not previously existing from the beginning of God's plan or human history, but new in the sense of the current dispensation. Otherwise, this makes no sense. When Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment," does that mean before this that we didn't have to love our neighbor as ourselves and love God with all our heart, soul, and mind? Of course not. It's in a new context. It's in a new environment that this love factor, with the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the universal filling of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you one thing I have not figured out, but it doesn't impact you in your Christian life, as far as I know. I haven't figured out how, you're an Old Testament believer. You're, any age of Gentile, Jewish believer, age of Israel, so-and-so, and so on. I know you had to confess your sins like we do. But what do you get for that? Forgiveness, okay, you get forgiveness. What else do you get? Are you filled with the Spirit just because you did that? What's the difference? Spirituality. See, I my pastor in the day said you had to ask for the Holy Spirit. So I had to step back. Okay. So you're saying you had to do two things. You have to rebound and ask for the Holy Spirit. Maybe so. That's just an area that has never been completely clarified for me. I accept the fact that all believers are in Christ, all believers are equal, positionally, royal family. All that's easy. I just never quite got all of that. Spirituality in the Old Testament era. But I guess occasionally I will tell you something that I didn't understand completely. It is so referred to in John 13:34. See, Christ is anticipating the new dispensation. He had to, because it was right on the cusp of it. And the disciples had to be, you know, scratching their heads. They didn't understand. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you." Now, one of the advantages the disciples had that Old Testament saints didn't have, they didn't have the direct example of Christ in front of them, living his life out. Yeah, they told about how he would come and how he'd be perfect and all this business and how he'd and certain things. But to actually see a person in action in the world dealing with a variety of situations, they got to observe how he conducted himself, handled situations. An example, a role model, if you will. And Jesus is like the older brother that's the role model for these disciples. "That you love one another even as I've loved you." So they got to see how he treated them under a variety of circumstances. And that the overriding thing is, of course, what? He hung in there with them. With all their shortcomings, with all their whatever they had, he hung in there with them. He didn't throw up his hands and said, I think I made a mistake picking you guys. He didn't do that. And he endured, and yes, he would correct him. Yes, he would even rebuke him if necessary, and severely in the case of Peter. But Peter asked for it. When he stand in the face of the plan of God, trying to make Jesus stumble, he got what he deserved. But he still loved him. So he says, we cannot survive if you guys don't learn to love one another. None of this competition. Yes, you can have a best friend. And the disciples had friends, closer friends, and so on. Yes, you can have a close friend. But you are supposed to love one another. You cannot be at odds with one another. This isn't a competition. That you love one another. That you love one another even as I've loved you, and that you also love one another. He says, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. It's a silent witness. Look how those believers treat each other. So it's very important that in your dealings with other members of the royal family here, that you set this example. And that the world sees and observes how we bond together. And that doesn't work when we're in conflict. If you have love for one another. To walk in the truth requires that the believer operates in the sphere of divine love. This can be a challenge. I know that. But you operate in the sphere of divine love. I can get out of fellowship like any of the rest of you this quick and not be speaking or treating the believer perfectly or like I should. I know that. So we have to work on it. The 1 Corinthians 13, it operates in the sphere of divine love. Otherwise, the effect is lost. And I went through that recently, so I'm not going to go over it. I'll just drop the one on you. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Boom, boom, boom. How many people in their dealings with people is predicated on what they did wrong to them back in the day? And so they withhold what they could have done for this person because this person did that. And don't think you cannot overcome any of that and forgive. You can. You have to buckle down and do it. Or you're the recipient of wrong behavior, bad behavior, and you're to roll on. If you think about it theologically, it makes perfect sense. And of course, I always use the analogy that if you don't... If God forgives you every day and every way, who are you to not forgive another person of an SDA offense that came against you? That's how we get past this stuff and not form these little ongoing attitudes that are so inappropriate. All right, let's take our break.